Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to continue on with our class, Ministry and the Appearing of Christ. And I'd just like to do a real quick, short review from our previous class. Not really a review, but just kind of go over some highlights because it will flow into this class. And in our last class, we covered the phrase, "Where I am." And we looked at three verses that actually said that. If I go and prepare a place for you, the first verse that we looked at was John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am. And we distinguished that, we defined that as the communion, the fellowship of the Father and the Son. That is the fellowship of the I am. Okay? That where I am, ye may be also. Okay, and I won't mention much more about that. And then we also looked at John 17:20-23, where Jesus is praying to the Father. He's speaking at first in John 14:3 to his disciples. Now he's bringing it up to the Father. And this is what he says: "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one." And here he defines one. Okay, here's the definition of one: "As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us." Verse 23, "I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect," or that they may be brought to consummation, the purpose proposed, the end goal proposed, in one. The very exact same relationship, one. And the Father in me, I in the Father, I in the Father, and the Father in me. I in thee and thou in me. Okay. And the other verse that we looked at, the second verse that we looked at with where the phrase "where I am" is in John 17:24. Still praying, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." That, with the purpose of, denoting the purpose, "for the purpose of this, that they may behold my glory," right here in this fellowship, brought into this fellowship for one purpose: to behold the glory of Christ, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay, one purpose for the soul. Once again, it begins at new birth, where you're brought into this fellowship, that where I am, they may be also. It begins at new birth, and it continues in the beholding of the face of Christ, of Jesus Christ. That's where it continues. That's where purpose continues. We looked also at John 3:3 with Jesus speaking to Nicodemus: "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom." And we defined the kingdom not as a location or a place, a physical place, but Christ himself, wherever light is ruling and reigning, wherever Christ governs, wherever light governs, there is found the kingdom of God. Okay? And we looked at our last verse, John 12:20-26, of the phrase "where I am." And I'll just read the last verse, verse 26. "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be." Here is found the servant of the Lord, walking in this communion, walking in this fellowship, walking in the crucified life, walking in one, walking in the fellowship of the I am. There's found the true servant of the Lord. And we also looked at, in that same passage of John 12, verse 21, where the whole context of this passage is the Greeks' desire to see Jesus. That is the context. That is the context. Okay? The Greeks' desire to see Jesus. That is the context. He brings it in basically saying, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, no one can see me. Except I come to the cross, fall into the ground and die, and buried, and come forth in resurrection as the resurrection. And then my servants will proclaim what they have seen in my face. And it will birth expectation in the hearts of the hearers, that they also may turn their hearts unto the Lord, that Christ would appear, that they may behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So that's basically our last class. And I want to continue on in this class for today. And this has to be established, brothers and sisters. This has to be established in the heart of all believers. See, all believers, or excuse me, let me rephrase that. All souls are called unto purpose because all souls were created with one purpose. Those that respond have entered into that purpose, have entered into the fellowship of the Father and the Son, the fellowship of the I Am, have entered into one. Okay? Those that have entered into purpose, those that have entered into the I Am, that where I am, only those whose hearts are turned with the purpose, with the goal of beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, only those are the ministers of the Lord. Okay? Now, I know there's several ministers out there in the world of the Christian religion of man. And, well, you will minister whether you are born again or not. And if you are born again, you will minister. The question is, what will you minister? Will you minister the face of Christ, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? Will you minister the image of Christ? Or will you minister your own image, man? What will you declare? Will you declare Christ? Or will you declare yourself? Jesus said of the religious leaders, you know, speaking to the religious leaders, you know, if I'd come in my own name, you would have received me. Man receives man. The Father receives Christ. Okay? This must be established. And it's not for the goal of being a minister. No. Ministry, please listen, ministry is automatic out of continuing in the purpose for your soul, out of continuing in the goal. Ministry is automatic. It's automatic. It's automatic. You don't have to try to do it. You don't have to try to do this and do that and start your little whatever you want to start that the Christian religion of man says to start. No. Ministry is automatic in the appearing of the Lord. Or let me rephrase it this way. The ministry of life, the ministry of Christ is automatic in the appearing of the Lord. Because as I said, whether you are born again or not, you will minister something. And if you are born again, you will either minister light, life, and glory, or you will minister death and condemnation. Okay? But it's automatic. Life, light, and glory is automatic as we continue with our hearts turned with an unveiled face before the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. As the light shineth in a dark place, so hath the Lord shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Ministry is automatic out from there. And we'll be looking at that verse in a second. And I think we did cover that verse in our previous class. We're going to look at different words, different terms of that in that passage that we didn't cover in the previous class. So, this being established, this relationship being established, now we continue. Okay. This is a passage in Luke and in John, and I kind of have like a subtitle. I'm calling this is basically the testimony, because everything of reality was testified of in the Scripture. Everything of reality was testified of in the Scripture before Jesus came. Basically, he was saying, he is coming, Messiah is coming. And then finally, Jesus says, I am come. And actually, he came with John the Baptist introducing him. Behold, the Lamb of God. Okay. So, speaking of John the Baptist, this is concerning John. All right. Once again, the subtitle, the testimony. All right. Preparation for the face of the Lord. All right. Just listen to that. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 76 through 80. And this is speaking concerning John the Baptist. And thou shalt... Child, shalt be the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord. And I want to just say this. John typified the testimony. It was like all the Law and the Prophets summed up. The voice of the Law and the Prophets summed up in a man, in a person, it's John the Baptist. Because he says basically ultimately this, the apex of his ministry is, behold the Lamb of God. That is the apex. Okay? The testimony testifies of his person, his presence, from the Father beholding his Son. Remember, it's the fellowship of the Father and the Son. The Father and the Son have this eternal fellowship face to face. Beautiful. Face to face. We see it with the Ark of the Testimony, the cherubims face to face. These aren't, it's nothing of, please listen, even with that type and shadow, it's nothing of the natural. A cherubim, like an angel, something angelic, something from a different creation, something from a different realm. Nothing of the natural, nothing of the flesh. It's testifying of a relationship, of a face-to-face communion, of a face-to-face relationship between the Father and the Son that we are brought into, that we are allowed to partake of because of Christ in the work of His cross. Okay, back to our passage and my comment. The testimony testifies of His person, His presence, from the Father beholding His Son. Continually the Father beholds His Son and He declares. What is declared of the Father as He beholds His Son is what we call the testimony, the Scripture. Okay? Now, going on. For thou shalt go, John the Baptist, for thou, John the Baptist, shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways. Before the face of the Lord. It's very specific. Please understand. I don't know if I wrote this comment. Yes, I did at the very beginning. I didn't even read it. I'll read this comment. The Scriptures are not random. Random events, random words, random sentences, random thoughts, etc. No, they are not random. The Scriptures are not random. Each, as I was stating before, as the Father is beholding His Son, He is declaring, and what He is declaring is now what we have as the Scriptures. The Old Covenant, the Old Testament Scriptures, okay? The New Testament Scriptures are that very testimony. It's like the Old Testament Scriptures are declaring, He is coming, this is the one that is coming, this is the one that was promised. He promises His Son. The New Testament Scriptures are the disciples having come by new birth into this relationship of the fellowship of the Father and the Son, the fellowship of the I Am, the fellowship of life, and beholding, because their hearts are turned, they continue in purpose, beholding the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ, they are declaring what they are beholding as well. That is their testimony. They testify of what they behold. Okay? Therefore, they are the ministers of the Lord. All right? They write with specific words, not random words. These words are specific. Specific to what? Specific to Christ. Specific for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Specific to birth in our hearts an expectation that our very hearts would also turn unto the Lord, the veil being removed, Christ would appear. Light would appear. First, for the one who's not born again, life would appear. Salvation would appear. Then for the one, once they are born again, now for the one who is born again, that the heart would turn, the veil being removed, light of life would appear. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God that is now present in the soul would appear. The light of the creation would appear. Okay? All right, so continuing on. Thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways. It just didn't say, thou shalt go before the Lord. No. Thou shalt go before the face of the Lord. Very specific. What were we to receive? What were even these here? What were they to receive? The face of the Lord. They were to receive the glory of God found in the face of Jesus Christ. The moment our hearts turn to the Lord and we are born again, that's actually what has happened. We have received the face of the Lord. We have received the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What are we to continue to receive? What are we to continue to walk in? Beholding that very same face. Okay? The light. Now it is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways. Verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people. You're going to go before the face of the Lord? It's, you know, testifying of a servant, of the servant of the Lord. You will go before the face of the Lord to give knowledge of salvation unto his people. Okay? I've got a couple verses here that I want us to read just because I wrote them down. And if you've listened to any of these classes, you know which verses I'm probably going to read. This is 2 Corinthians Let me take a look here. Ah, yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Causeth us who are born again, us whose hearts are turned to the Lord, us who are walking in the light, us who are walking in the day, us who are walking in the fellowship of the I Am. Causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of what? His knowledge by us in every place. Remember, I told you, when your heart is turned to the Lord with no veil, with an unveiled face, the veil being removed with an unveiled face, ministry is automatic. This is automatic. Maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. By us in every place, it's automatic. While others are bringing forth an unsavory flavor of their own knowledge in every place, the knowledge of man, of their own face. Okay, I've got another verse. Yes, 2 Corinthians 4:6, I halfway quoted it. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The savor of the knowledge of Christ. Okay. So verse back to Luke 1:77. To give knowledge of his salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Now look at verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. The day spring. I looked up that term day spring because I thought it was kind of... As I said, no word is randomly placed in the Scriptures. Dayspring is Strong's number 395. In the Online Bible Greek Lexicon, it means basically this arising of the sun and stars. The east, the direction of the sun's rising. Of the dayspring, the rising of the sun. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring, the arising of the sun from on high, hath visited us. Verse 79. To give what? Light. To give light. Father, that they may... I pray that they be where I am, that they may behold my glory. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the way of peace. And I'll go ahead and look at this term peace here, because we're going to look at it in just a second. To guide our feet into the way of peace. It's Strong's number 1515. It basically means this in the Strong's Greek lexicon. From a primary verb, eido. Forgive me, I'm trying to pronounce it in Greek. Eido, which means to join. Translated into the English as one. Okay. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet, our walk into the way of one. Right here. It's really plain, really simple. One. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, walking in the day, walking in the light. To give light to them to sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of one, of peace. All right, picking up back on verse 80. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. Okay. Now, still speaking concerning John the Baptist, I am not the Christ. All right. This is John chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. And this is the record of John. This is his own record. This is his own confession. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou? Who are you?" Verse 20. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." What did he say? "I am not the anointed. I am not the anointed." Paul had this very same understanding. He declares it in Galatians 2:20. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, the vessel I live, yet not I, the life of the vessel, but Christ liveth in me." I am not the Christ. Christ liveth in me. I am not the treasure. The treasure is in the vessel. I am not the treasure, but the treasure is in the vessel. Beautiful relationship. Now, he had this confession because in testimony he went before the face of the Lord. See, even in the scriptures, the testimony, please listen, this is beautiful. The scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, the testimony prepares the heart for the face of the Lord. The testimony prepares the heart for the glory of God found only in the face of Jesus Christ. The testimony births in the heart, prepares the heart for the face of the Lord. Nothing less. If we are finding other things, then we are remaining short. We are coming short. Short of what? Short. Falling short. Coming short of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's very simple. For all have fallen and come short of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Very simple. All right. Now we have the testimony laid out right there. Now we have the pattern. Okay. This is Jesus when he was walking with his disciples. All right. This is Luke chapter 9, verse 51 through 56. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face. Not his mind, not his thought, not his resolve. No, his face. To go to Jerusalem. Verse 52. And sent messengers before his face. Okay, first of all, before we go on, I just want us to look at that. Set his face to go to Jerusalem. I've got a verse here that I wrote down that I want us to read. And this is in Acts chapter 1. And you may already be thinking about this verse. Probably already quoting it in your mind, in your heart. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And this is Jesus speaking. Verse 8, "But ye," speaking to his disciples, "but ye," after he is risen, "but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me." Witness, an eyewitness, one who has seen. You will be witnesses because you have seen me. You will continue to see me. Acts 26:16, "This thy seen me and thy seen me hereafter." Flows really beautifully. "Unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." First to his own, then the world. That's the order. First to his own, comes to the church first, then to the world. Okay? "And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, first to his own, then to the world." Verse 52, "and sent messengers before his face." I love that. I love that. Before his face. Not, it just didn't say before him, before his face, to prepare the way, the hearts, to prepare the hearts to behold the face of the Lord. It's just throughout this scripture. All right. "And they went." and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him his face. Verse 53, and the Samaritans did not receive him. His messengers were declaring, trying to prepare the ground, prepare the way before his face. And those who were listening did not allow that declaration, that testimony, to birth in their hearts the expectation to see his face, to behold him, to turn the heart, the veil be removed, and behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. They did not allow their testimony, what they were declaring, to birth in their hearts that expectation. And when his disciples, verse 53, and they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Well, yes, to his first own, then to the ends of the world. All right, verse 54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Verse 56. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save. Not to destroy, but to save. To bring into purpose. To bring unto salvation. Okay? And they went to another village. The Lord sends his messengers, they will declare the testimony of God in the face of Jesus Christ. They will declare the Christ. They will declare the anointed of God. They will declare Christ. They will declare the glory of God found in the face of Jesus Christ. They will declare the savor of the knowledge of him in every place. And if there is a continual refusal to receive, that the heart would turn to behold that very substance, then that will not stop the declaration. The declaration will go on and go forth. Okay? And the only ones who will miss out, the only ones who will lose out of that, will be those that do not receive him. Not a teaching, the person, him. His face. Because the face also implies the person. The person. Because when the face is present, the person is present. Okay? Alright. And they went to another village. Nothing lost. This fellowship continues. For whosoever will. The fellowship continues. Alright. So we're still looking at the pattern. This is Luke chapter 10. Verse 1 through 3. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. 70 more. And sent them two and two before his face to prepare his ways. It's like showing the pattern here. 70 more, sends them out two by two. The testimony of two witnesses. Two or more witnesses, the testimony of two witnesses, the word is established. The word is established. The testimony is established in our hearts. That there be birthed in our hearts that expectation to turn, veil being removed, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay? Before his face, into every city and place, into every city and place whither he himself would come. Anywhere, everywhere, into every city and place whither he himself would come. Would come. If and he would come. How shall I put it this way? Where he himself would come, would desire to come, would desire to appear. So long as the heart is desirous to receive. For whosoever will, once again, for whosoever will. Okay? All right. Verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great. And please understand the way I'm reading this. I know the way the Christian religion of man has declared this verse. Please understand the way I'm reading this verse, with the understanding I'm reading this verse. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. Truly a great harvest where I myself would come, where my face would come to be received. Truly a great harvest. But the laborers, those who behold my face, those who are continually before me, those who walk in light, those who walk in the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, those who declare, it is not I but Christ who liveth in me, those who declare the image of Christ and not their own image, the laborers are few. Are few. If any man serve me. Back to the verse. Let him follow me. Let him be in union with me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be, if any, but there are not many. The laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. That he would send forth. See? That's Jesus came this way. The Father hath sent me. If I would have come in my own name, you would receive me. Because you receive the person of man. You receive the natural. You receive what you can see by the senses. See, taste, hear, smell, touch. That's what you receive. My Father hath sent me. Something greater than the natural, the spiritual, the eternal. The Father hath sent me. So here it says right here. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. His harvest. Not our harvest, not the harvest of man, his harvest. Because the purpose for the soul is that Christ would appear. His Christ would appear in the soul and continue appearing in that soul. It all revolves around the Son. The purpose is for the Son, nothing less than the Son, nothing less than Christ himself. That he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Verse 3, go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. All right. This is John chapter 20, verse 19 through 21. This is after Jesus is raised, after Jesus is resurrected. This passage. This is the reality, okay? We looked at the testimony with John the Baptist. We looked at the pattern with Jesus and his disciples sending them forth before his face. Now, in these passages, we're going to look at the reality, okay? Jesus is risen from the dead. John chapter 20, verse 19 through 21. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus. Don't you love that? Came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace unto you. We looked at that word peace, in Luke chapter 1, verse 79. To give light, this is what Jesus does, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. One. Peace unto you. One unto you. Going on. Verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed himself. He showed himself to his disciples. He showed himself to his disciples. The verse, once again, John 17:24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Peace unto you. And he showed himself unto them, his hands and his side. Then, okay, this is after, listen, it's just perfect the way it's worded. This is after they see the Lord. This is after he shows himself unto them. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then were they glad. See, the Christian religion of man will say, well, brother, you need to pray for this. You need to pray to God for this and this and this, and you will be happy. And you will be able to be encouraged. No, 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 no. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Why? Because that is the answer to your soul, not to your brain. The Christian religion of man draws from a carnal source, the carnal mind, and will try to appease the carnal mind. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Only then. Verse 21. Then Jesus said unto them again, peace unto you. Peace unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. After they had seen the Lord, after the Lord had presented himself unto them and showed himself unto them, after they were glad because they had seen the Lord, and peace won unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you, not apart, but in union. One, as the Father hath sent me, not I but the Father, in this very same manner, in this very same existence, relationship, fellowship, character, nature, in this very same nature, so I send you, not I but Christ, in this very same nature, in this very same character, in this very same fellowship, in this very same union, so I send you. I love that. I love that. And I did have a comment for that. Then were the disciples glad. I had Psalm 30, verse 4 through 5. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger but a moment, in His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. When the light of life appears, when Christ appears, joy cometh in the morning. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Peace unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you, in like manner, in like union, in the same union, the same exact union. Even so send I you, that they may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. It's beautiful. Here. So I send you. That was the same thing that... who was it? Isaiah. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. Please listen how it starts. I saw the Lord. High and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And I said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. And then, I'm not sure the order of it, but it begins with, I saw the Lord. That's the beginning of it. I saw the Lord. And then there's the voice of the Lord. Whom shall we send? Whom shall we send? I saw the Lord. Hear my Lord. Send me. It is not I, but other. I come not in my own name, but in the name of other, the other, another. Okay? I come not bearing my own image, but the image of another. I come not declaring my own image, my own face, but the image of another. I come not declaring the vessel, but I come declaring the treasure. Even so, send I you. It's beautiful. All right. Continuing on with 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 7. These were some of the words that I wanted us to look at. The terms. Let's go ahead and read that passage. Let me do this. Put this right here. All right. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, this is Paul speaking, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Okay, the first term I want us to look at is the two words here in verse 2, have renounced. Strong's number 550 basically means this. We've disowned. We've given up. We've renounced. That which is put away in the cross, that of time past. We've renounced it. We've disowned it. That is no longer my existence. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. He is my existence. It is not I, but Christ who liveth in me, and I walk in this understanding. Okay? But have renounced. We've given up the hidden things of dishonesty. That's Strong's number 152. The confusion of one who is ashamed of anything. Sense of shame. Ignominy. Disgrace. Dishonor. Why? Because it is the image of fallen man. Here you find in time the image of fallen man. Once you have entered into eternity, into Christ, who is the eternal one, you are in fellowship, the fellowship of life, the fellowship of the Father and the Son. It is not the image of fallen man, but it is the image of Christ now. Here there's no reason to be ashamed. Here there is no confusion. God is a God of order, not a God of confusion. Okay, there's no confusion in Christ. The verse says it. But have renounced, have disowned, have given up the hidden things of confusion, of shame. Confusion of one who is ashamed of anything, ashamed of their own image. Because they're beholding their own image versus their hearts being turned, the veil being removed, and with an unveiled face beholding the image of Christ. The image of God in the face of Jesus Christ, okay? Reproach, dishonor. And that was Strong's number 152. It's from Strong's number 153. Strong's number 153 is to disfigure. Not disfiguring the image of Christ. No. If our hearts are turned unto something else, then we are disfiguring the image of Christ. Remember? Okay. The soul was created for the appearing of Christ. All right? Thus, bearing the image of Christ and not its own image. You find that in Genesis 1:26. God created man in his own image. In Genesis, it's a testimony that he would be a testimony of Christ, the image of Christ. All right? Not disfiguring the image of Christ. How? This is, of course, is automatic in the appearing of Christ in the soul, where the image of Christ is blazed, is branded in our soul, and we bear his image. No longer, listen, no longer bearing the disfigured image of man, no longer bearing that image that holds with it confusion of one who is ashamed, because there's a sense of shame because it is a fallen image. Okay? A corrupted image. And saying corrupted, let's go on. This will be really good. As we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. Craftiness is Strong's number 3834. Trickery or sophistry. Forgive me for the pronunciation. I had to look that up in the Webster's 1828 dictionary. This is what it says. Fallacious reasoning. Reasoning sound in appearance only. Outward appearance. Fallacious. I went ahead and looked that up as well. Deceptive, deceiving, deceitful. Wearing a false appearance. Producing error or mistake. A fallacious appearance, deceitful, false, not well-founded, producing disappointment, mocking expectation as a fallacious hope. See, the testimony will birth in your heart the hope the expectation to behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that Christ would appear. Anything less than the testimony of God, which would be man, will create a false, a lesser hope, a lesser expectation that will only disappoint. I mean, it's right here, producing disappointment. False, deceitful. Okay? Tendency to deceive or mislead, inconclusiveness, want of such evidence as to satisfy the mind of truth or falsehood and put an end to debate. Oh, we debate so much, brother and sister, down here on the timeline, on the earthly timeline, because our hearts are turned to our own face and we compare ourselves among ourselves and we debate according to our carnal reasoning versus someone else's carnal reasoning, which is all founded and is found from the source being the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of both good and evil. And none of it is the tree of life. None of it is Christ. None of it is the mind of Christ. Therefore, we come to no true conclusion. We just go on and on like in a merry-go-round. On and on in circles, never coming to the truth. Okay? When your heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed, and with an unveiled face, your soul beholds the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. All debate ends because you see Him who remains, Him who lives. The mind of Christ is present where light is present. Where light is present, darkness is not present. Where light is not present, darkness abounds. Okay? Going on. Not walking in craftiness. All that for that term craftiness. Wow. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully. The term is deceitfully handling. It's the Greek is that's the actual Greek word translated into the English. It's those two words, deceitfully handling, or handling deceitfully. Oh, excuse me. Let me read this other. This is the Online Bible Greek Lexicon for that previous word, craftiness. Specious or false wisdom. Look at that, false wisdom. It's not the wisdom of God. It's not. Christ is made unto us wisdom. A false wisdom. The wisdom of man. It's not Christ. Okay? Showy, pleasing to view, the natural faculties. Superficially fair, appealing well at first view. And here's an example. Temptation is of a greater danger because it is covered with the specious names of good nature, good manners, nobleness of mind, etc., etc. Okay, so that's for that term, craftiness. So back to 2 Corinthians 4, where we're reading verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Not handling deceitfully the word of God. The phrase handling deceitfully is Strong's number 1389. That is figuratively adulterate, to corrupt. This is Webster's 1828 dictionary for the term adulterate. Because we think of, in our minds, we think, oh, adultery. Yes, yeah, adultery is one of the terms there, one of the definitions there. But let's keep on reading, because in this Online Bible Greek Lexicon, it also means to ensnare, to corrupt. Right? Adulterate in the Webster's 1828 dictionary. Latin, adultero, from adulter, mixed. Add and alter, other. To corrupt, debase, or make impure by an admixture of baser materials. Adulterate as a, I think it's an adjective. Debased by foreign mixture. Adulterated. corrupted, debased by a mixture with something of less value. Remember the image, Jesus? Do we pay the tithe or do we not pay the tithe? Do we pay the taxes or do we not pay taxes? Bring me the coin. Whose image is on it? Oh, it's Caesar's. It's man's image. Give it to man. It's of no value to God. Given to God, what belongs to God? His own image, the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Adulterateness. The quality or state of being debased or counterfeit. Counterfeit. And listen to this. A false image. Not having come to the truth, the true image, which is Christ. A false image. Adulterating, debasing, corrupting, counterfeiting. Adulteration. The act of adultering or the state of being adulterated, corrupted or debased by foreign mixture. Foreign mixture. All right. In the heart, here's my comment. In the heart, vainly gathering and mixing from below, from the natural, from man, that which is of man, the wisdom of man, the thought, the reason of man, the carnal mind of man, the false image of man, the corrupted image of man, the fallen image of man. To corrupt, adulterate that which is of God from above, Christ, the image of Christ, wisdom, whom Christ is, the mind of Christ, the image of Christ. Okay, so here's the verse again. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced. We've let it go. Trying to find verses here. Excuse me, my pages. Have renounced. We've disowned the hidden things of confusion, of shame, of the disfigurement. We've let those go. We've let this realm go. We've let everything that comes from this source go. Not walking the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness. All right? Not walking in the carnal mind. Not walking in the exercise of logic. Not walking in falsehood. Not walking in disappointment. In a mocking expectation. Not walking in a false appearance. Not walking in the showy, pleasing to the view. Not walking in a false appearance. Nor handling deceitfully, nor corrupting, nor bringing in mixture, nor adulterating, nor debasing by foreign mixture, nor making impure by an admixture of baser materials, nor corrupting, debased by mixture with something of less value, nor bringing anything of lesser value in here. No, here you do not do that, brother and sister. Why? Because your face is beholding His face, His image. There you don't bring anything of a lesser value. There you do not bring in a lesser image. There you do not bring in something that is not the treasure. When our hearts are turned to the Lord, the veil being removed, we walk in light. We walk in the mind of Christ. It's simple. There's no darkness in Christ. In Him there is no darkness. Herein, there is no lesser image as well. There is no lesser image. We do not bring in a lesser image. But if our hearts are turned unto something else, the lesser image is present immediately. We saw it before with Moses going up to the mountain, coming down. When he's before the face of the Lord, it's the glory of God. He's before the face of God. The moment he comes down and he's before man, it's the image of man. Instantly. But it's that instantaneous as when our heart turns to the Lord and the veil is removed. Instantly, the Lord appears. The light of life. The light of the glory of God that is present in the soul, found in the face of Jesus Christ, appears. Let there be light. All right. I think we've run out of time. I just want us to look a little bit about, with the passage of 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 7, just some different comments that I have. Yes, very good comments. Here's verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And we saw that, I think in a previous class, how do they do that? Why do they do that? How can they do that? How can they preach Christ Jesus the Lord and not themselves? Verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is how Christ as light of the glory of God has appeared in their hearts. That is why they declare the treasure and nothing less than the treasure. Okay? Look at this. Verse 6. For God who commanded. The Christian religion of man will bring you to the commandments, to the list of do's and don'ts. For God who commanded. This is a commandment. It's a commandment. You can look it up. Strong's number 2036. This is a commandment that the vast majority are ignorant of and refuse to obey, refuse to submit to. Yes, a commandment. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness desires to command, let there be light in our own soul of those who are born again. A commandment that the vast majority of the church, of those who are truly born again, are ignorant of and refuse to obey, refuse to submit to. We would rather submit to do's and don'ts than to one of the very first commandments of God. Let there be light. And there was light. Genesis chapter 1. It's Genesis chapter 1. I think it's like verse 3 or 4. Let there be light. Not submitting to the commandment of God, but would rather do a list of do's and don'ts. So I send you. There it is, the title of the class. We looked at the testimony, the pattern, and the reality. Here, once this relationship is established, brother and sister, as the Father hath sent me, so I send you. There's found the true minister of the Lord. The one whose heart is turned to the Lord, the veil being removed, beholding face to face in the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And listen, and being transformed to bear that very same image. Proclaiming the image of Christ, the face of Christ. Not proclaiming anything lesser, a false image. Not bringing any mixture into the pure image of Christ. You can search the scriptures in the Old Testament. Hey, there's no mixture. The Lord did not allow mixture. You shall not have any mixture between your fields. You shall not sow mixed seed. You shall not use mixed cloth or clothing. It's the same thing. Right here. As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. It is not I, but Christ who liveth in me. So there you go. One. Yeah. One last verse. Because I've got it in my notes and I forgot to read it. Forgive me. I know I've already run out of time, but we'll go ahead and just look at this verse real quick. This is Acts 7:26. This is concerning Moses. I love this. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove. Moses showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? Moses would have set them at one again. And because they are not set at one again, then they are doing wrong one to another. The brethren, the body, doing wrong one to another because they are not set at one again. That's it. That's the goal. That's the goal. And when he had so said, he showed himself unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, Peace one unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. May the Holy Spirit deal with our hearts, brother and sister. We've been brought into one. We've been brought into this fellowship to behold the glory of the Lord. That they may behold my glory. That they, Father, I will that they, that thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. That we would be set at one. And having been set at one and established in one, established in this fellowship, the fellowship of life, the fellowship of the Father and the Son, the fellowship of the I Am, go forth. Even as the Father has sent me, even so send I you to set forth, to set others at one again. Amen. This was the end of this class, brother and sister. I just hope it's been a blessing. It's definitely been a blessing to me. May the Lord continue to direct our hearts unto Him and His purpose. Amen.